The book of Numbers can be divided in many ways. It depends on how we approach it tonight. If we take just a historical perspective, then you would have two possible outlines. One Bible commentator named Robert G. Lee or something, who wrote the outlines of the Bible, he outlined it into two major portions, from chapter 1 to chapter 20 as the old generation, and then from chapter 21 to chapter 36 as a new generation. And then other evangelicals like J. Cyril Baxter, who wrote the whole series of commentaries called Explore the Book, outlined it into three portions. And he outlined it from chapter 1 to chapter 14 as the old generation, and then chapter 15 to chapter 20 as the wanderings, which took 38 years. And then he outlined from chapter 21 onwards to 36 as the final portion, which covers the New Testament. Which covers the latter portion of the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Praise God. Well, we're glad the book of Numbers got its name from the numbering. And we heard that some of you thought that tonight we were not going to have a meeting. And some of the people thought that tonight we didn't have a meeting. And so they will call up and said, "Hey, we have a meeting." And say, what will you do? Everybody thought that there was no meeting tonight and you show up. We still have a Bible study. Praise God. And the book of Numbers, we are going to approach it from the spiritual perspective. And so we will not take the historical outline, but I have to mention it in case you're a Bible student and you're aware of the major divisions of the book. But we are looking at it from the spiritual perspective as we want to look for types and shadows that point to our times today. And because of that, I have outlined the book of Numbers from Numbers chapter 1, right on to Numbers chapter 10, Numbers chapter 1 to Numbers chapter 10 as the first portion. And then from chapter 11 to chapter 36 as the second major portion. Now this doesn't follow any historical outline, but this follows the line of thought and revelation that I have received from the Lord as I meditated over this book. See, from chapter 1 to chapter 10, even though he was dealing with the old generation, God was bringing forth in those teachings the basic principles that we need when we are as a believer and as Christians that we need in order to live a healthy Christian life while in the world. Basically, the revelation contained, which is the purpose of this Bible study, is that to give you all a basic guideline as to what kind of truths you can find in the Old Testament, rather than just studying the Old Testament historically per se. So from chapter 1 to chapter 10, there are truths that will teach us how we can be in the world, but not of the world. So everything that you find in Numbers chapter 1 to chapter 10 teaches us principles how to exist in the planet Earth, on the planet Earth, without being polluted by the influences, the fashions, and being conformed to the world. There are basic principles involved. The book of Numbers talks about the wilderness period of the Israelites. From Numbers chapter 1 verse 1, we realize that it was in their second year and of the second month, and opposed to Exodus chapter 40, which tells us that they ended with the dedication of the temple in the first month of the second year. And so the book of Leviticus basically took about a month. Now they are in the second month of the second year in the book of Numbers chapter 1 verse 1. Let's look at the book of Numbers. Notice the timing there. In the first day of the second month, in the second year, and opposed to Exodus chapter 40, which ended with the first month of the second year. So Leviticus actually was a period that took only 1 month. Now we're in the book of Numbers that contain all the wanderings and all the problems that they would face while in the wilderness, And after having received the truth of God, after the tabernacle was set up, everything was completed, and here comes the practical application. And all those things that they're going to face, just like Christians, they're born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and water baptized too, and they have joined a church, and they have fellowship in a church regularly, and they're growing in the Word. Everything has been done in Christ. Everything looks alright. But they began to face pressures. Pressures while living in on this earth. The pressures of life. And they're wondering how to live this earth. How to live this life. And continue the Christian life that they have been brought into when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So chapter 1 to chapter 10 give us principles and guidelines. Chapter 11 to chapter 36 tells us primarily the problems, the sins, and the thou shall not. The things that we must watch out for while we are living on this earth. Through the example of the Israelites, we see some of the major problems of an imperfect church. With perfect laws, with perfect revelation, trying to walk the perfect way. And so we need to understand from their fall and their sin, we need to learn the major problems that we will face in the church life. Some Christians thought that once they have been born again, there will be no more problems. After all, God has come into their life, there's no more problems. I'm sorry to tell you, you still have a lot of problems. The only difference is now we can find a solution. Sometimes it takes time to get the solution. And we need to be aware of the kind of problems, the kind of sins, the kind of temptation. Major temptations and major areas that will trouble church life. And thereby the Christian life. So let's go straight in the book on Numbers. First portion, spiritually, chapter 1 to chapter 10. The first four chapters speak about prayer, a spiritual type of prayer. The first four chapters. Although you don't see the word prayer there, in spiritual type, they will be brought forth. Because as long as you live on this planet Earth, only the garments of prayer can keep you from being defiled. See, Jesus said, you are in the world but not of the world. But many are in the world and of the world. So the only way to preserve us from being worldly minded and being influenced by the things of this world is the spirit of prayer. The moment you lose the spirit of prayer, all the three major sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will become things that will lure you. As long as you keep prayer up, prayer is the only force that we must maintain strongly from beginning to end. Until Jesus comes again, we must continue steadfast in the spirit of prayer. Now, prayer is a spirit. Prayer is an atmosphere. It's not just an act. Prayer is an atmosphere you live in. Sadhu Sundar Singh, in some of his writings, talk about he has a very unique style of teaching in the form of parables. And he spoke about how there were believers he saw who lose that spirit of prayer. You see, you could be in a supermarket and have a spirit of prayer upon you. You could be in the bus or in the MRT and have the spirit of prayer upon you. Now, by spirit of prayer, I'm not talking that we turn fanatics. That you have to stand, on the seats of your SBS bus, raise up your hands, and say, "Kurra," all the way to your house. Right? That is not what we mean by the spirit of prayer. Right? And that we are not sure what spirit it was of. The spirit of prayer, it can be silent, it can be invisible. Even in your heart, when your mouth is not moving, when the spirit of prayer is upon you, your thoughts and your heart always goes towards God. Your thoughts are rising. It's just like the spirit of the world. You know what the spirit of the world does? The spirit of the world draws you to the things of the world. Constantly your mind goes towards that direction. That is one reason why many unbelievers who have no God in their life and do not believe in God, they have the spirit of the world influencing them, although they don't know it. Every night they have a sleepless night thinking about what? Worldly affairs. Every time they are at rest, their mind goes back to the world. It's attracted like a magnet to the affairs and things of the world. When we have the spirit of prayer, we are attracted to the things of God even when we are silent. Our innermost thoughts are drawn towards God. When Paul says pray without ceasing, he's talking not about the act of prayer alone, but the presence of the spirit of prayer that continue in our lives. How can a person pray unceasingly in the form of an act? I mean, you'll be talking in your sleep, talking everywhere, right? No, it's talking about the spirit of prayer that we're going to touch on tonight. The first four chapters talk about spirit of prayer that were manifest in three areas. In the numberings, historically, the first generation was about 600,000 people numbered. That was only in a man. And so from there, that's how they calculated to be about 2 to 3 million, adding the women and the children, averaging out. And in a new numbering, which came later, it also came to about 600,000. Some tribes got less, some tribes got more, but the total came to about the same. There was no major growth, even physically. Now, in those days, physically, they represent what we represent spiritually. And so, in this period, they had no progress at all. Physically, they had no progress at all. The same number of people were there, although they were new people, it was the same number of people as when they first came out from the land of Egypt. No extra. All the extras replaced the old ones who died. Roughly about 600,000. Those are all the historical figures. And so in the book of Numbers chapter 1, you see the numbering. But the numbering is specialized. In the book of Numbers chapter 1 and chapter 2, notice the purpose of the numbering. Remember, when you look at the Bible to study spiritual truth, look for repetitive phrases. They are not repeated so that God will help us to remember. They are repeated because there is a truth that the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize. To the point of sometimes, the repetition is to the point of sometimes being redundant. And of course in chapter 1, after all these interesting names that have been mentioned there, you know, there's a phrase in verse 20 that keeps coming out, towards the last phrase of verse 20. From 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war. Verse 22. From 20 years old above, all who were able to go to war. Verse 24. From 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war. Verse 26. From 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war. Verse 28. From 20 years old and above, and all who are able to go to war. And it continues on. Verse 30. From 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war. And so many times repeated. If I keep reading all these things, people who are hearing this tape will think that the tape has stuck. But there's a lot there. There's a lot of repetition. Definitely in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, it talks about the tribes, the leaders, and the army that they form. In verse 4, it tells us his army was numbered such and such. Verse 6, his army was numbered at 54,400. And verse 8, and verse 11, and verse 13, etc. Or his army. So in the first two chapters, it talks about warfare. Preparation for warfare. Then in chapter 3, he begins to talk about the sons of Aaron and their special work that God has for them, including verse 5, the Levites who are going to serve along with them. And then in chapter 4, he talks about the duties of the sons of Kohath in verse 1, chapter 4 verse 1. onwards, and chapter 4 verse 21, the duties of the sons of Gershon, verse 29, the duties of the son of Merari, and from verse 34 onwards, the census of the Levites.